In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Just lift your voice. Bless him in the spirit. I feel you can just open your mouth right now and pray in other tongues. In his holy presence. Open your mouth. In the spirit. In the spirit. Release your sound. Release your words. Come on. Release your sound all over this place. You that are watching at home, lift your voice. Let it flow out of your spirit. Worshiping in the spirit. Worshiping in your own words. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Fekaliere sekero kopodana hakai. Kemboro sikrata. Let it come from your belly. Let it come from your spirit. In his holy presence. Harakabara die solo mohoda. Reketela barata sheke, mabrata la baraka soya. It's full of your glory, and you are holy, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God Almighty. The air is full of your glory. You are Lord God Almighty. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Thank you for open heavens tonight. Before the Lord our God, we've come to bow. Hallelujah. Before the Lord our God, we've come to bow. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Alpha, pick the mic and sing for me. Hallelujah. Hey, alabakata. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Helebos. Listen to this. Say, you are the mighty God. Help me. The great I am. to him tonight. He's worthy of your praise. He's the mighty God. One more time. The great I am. Sing it one more time. One more time, say you are the lift your hands and lift your voice and bless this mighty God, this awesome God, the one that doesn't just bear titles. He is everything that we call him and more. Lift your hands and your voice and bless him. Mighty God, great I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the man. You are the awesome God. The great I am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are going to pray three prayers before we are seated. The Lord instructed me that we should take these prayers before we get seated. Transformation happens in many ways. Amen. God is not just here to transform your mind. God is also here to transform your status, change your story. And for some of you, give you a miracle. It's part of the package of the service. We're going to lift up these three prayer requests before we sit down to hear the word of the Lord. Prayer number one. Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1 to verse 10. The Bible spoke about the virgins, the 10 virgins that waited for the bridegroom. And the Bible says they waited with lamps and five had oil. Extra oil, but five did not have extra oil. And the Lord brought that scripture to me and told me that this is 2025. One of the problems that believers have in 2025 is the inability to sustain revival, the inability to sustain prayer life, the inability to sustain their passion for God. I'd like you to know that as the year is coming to an end, many people begin to drop in their strength. The passion of many people begin to reduce, even in the place of prayer. But the Bible says that the end of a matter, just before you begin to weary out, God wants to supply strength and fresh oil for you. Oil with which you will finish this year with style. I'd like you to lift your voice and cry and say, Lord, fresh oil, extra oil, to stay revived in this season as we approach the end of the year. Listen, lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Forget about who's around you. Forget about how you are dressed. Lift your voice and ask him, Lord, extra oil upon my life. Fresh oil upon my prayer altar. Fresh oil upon my work study life. The oil to continue. The oil to sustain. The oil to stay revived as we approach the end of the year. Oil that supplies strength. Come on, lift your voice and pray. Husbands pray. Wives pray. Young people pray. Fathers, pray. Oil by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says that your garment will always be white and that your head will not lack oil. Lord, as I approach the end of the year, oil to stay revived. Oil to stay strong in the Lord. Oil to remain on fire. He said, let your lamp always be burning. Let your lamp always be burning. Come on, somebody pray. 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 I receive fresh oil from above. Fresh oil. Like the five wise virgins. Fresh oil. Even on your business, even on your career, in every aspect of your life, oil to run, grace to run, oil to stay revived, oil to sustain results. Come on, pray. Pray like your life depends on it. I refuse to be weary. I refuse to grow cold. I refuse to be lukewarm.
Chapter 15, verse 16. I'd like you to take the next two prayer points very serious. John chapter 15, verse 16. There's a grace I want us to obtain from this scripture tonight. It says, you did not choose me. Jesus speaking now to his disciples. It says, but I chose you and appointed you. Why? That you should go and bear fruit. There's fire in this place, I tell you the truth. There is fire. There is fire. Lift your hands everywhere, please. There is fire. I don't know who needs a baptism of fire, but I stretch my hands. Let fresh fire from the throne room. Fresh fire from above. Fresh fire from Elohim. Fall on your life. Fall on your prayer altar. Fall on every aspect of your life. Take it right now. Take it right now. Fresh. 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 Take that fresh fire. In the name of Jesus. Ala barakisiyama. Hear me? Let's finish the reading. John chapter 15 verse 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Allow God to keep anointing some people in this service. He said, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. That your fruit should remain. It's one thing to bear fruits, but I hope you know those fruits can be wasted. There is a grace to be fruitful, but there is a grace to sustain fruitfulness. Hear me. You are going to ask the Lord for grace. Grace for consistent results and sustainable accomplishment.
grace for consistent result and sustainable accomplishment. That every result that God has helped you to achieve will be sustained. It will be consistent. You will not be up today and down tomorrow. Open your mouth and obtain that grace. Lord, I receive grace. 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 For consistent results. Grace for consistent results. Grace for sustainable accomplishments. Open your mouth and cry. Open your mouth and cry. The grace to be fruitful, but the grace to sustain fruitfulness. The grace to sustain results. The grace to rise continually. The grace to be up today and remain up tomorrow. Come on, open your mouth and obtain grace. Obtain grace. Obtain grace. Halamakaria telemokos. Grace for sustainable fruitfulness, sustainable results, sustainable results in your business, in your career, in ministry, in your life, in your family. The grace to sustain results. Obtain grace. Obtain grace. Obtain grace. Obtain grace. Alabakaria come seprete. Rensopranta kapala. Rakoba lekerize pokoronde. Emprete kopasaka la kariate. Repeketos kapranda la karata. Resheke paraga la dialaba. Hallelujah. Please put up Genesis 26 verse 13. Hear me. This is one grace that I want you to receive even in this service. The grace for sustainable results. Consistency in fruitfulness. It's one thing to be up tomorrow, today, but down tomorrow. But it's one thing to rise up and stay up. He said, I've chosen you that you will bear fruit and your fruit will remain. There are different forces that fight consistency in the life of a man. From your career to your business to your family to your health to every aspect to ministry. There are forces that may fight you from rising. And just in case you are able to rise, they will fight to ensure that you don't remain up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Whether they are territorial forces or forces from your background, I stand by an apostolic anointing. Lift your hands. And I release upon you in the name of Jesus. The grace for sustainable fruitfulness. The grace for sustained result. The grace to be consistent in result. Receive it in the name of Jesus. You hear me? Look at this scripture. It said the man, Isaac, began to prosper and continued prospering. It's one thing to begin, but it's another thing to continue. In fact, listen, people will know that it's the signature of the hand of God when you start and continue. Some may say, well, let's give him 1 year, 2 years. In money go finish. Let's give him 2 years. He will be reduced to nothing. But in the name of Jesus, whether there are demons from your father's house, whether there are demons from your village, any force that has risen against you to ensure that you don't end the year with sustainable result, I crush those forces now. I silence those forces now. And I speak to you that you will rise and continue to rise. You will rise and continue to rise. You will shatter glass ceilings. You will break through strongholds. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
anybody that says, let's give him 1 year, let's give him 3 months, let's give him 6 months, and we'll see what will become of him. I pray that God will keep them alive to see how far he will lift you above of them. The Bible says, I will exalt you, Lord, for thou hast lifted me above my enemies. I tell you the truth, you will rise too far for them to meet up. You will rise too high for them to catch up. And you will remain above only. I said you remain above only. In business, you remain above only. In your academics, you remain above only. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall stay above and not beneath. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Finally, we are going to pray against sudden death and destruction. Watch me from last Sunday, miracle service, right? I've been praying that again and again. It's not to get you scared. It's just to ensure that any trap the enemy has set that you are not knowledgeable of, we will destroy it before you arrive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says, surely he shall deliver me from the snare. A snare is a trap. The reason why it's called a trap is so that the one that should be caught in the trap doesn't see the trap. But the Bible says he shall deliver you. In Psalms 124, he said, our soul is escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Any snare of death, any trap of destruction, destruction around your finances, destruction around your business, around your career, any plan of the enemy to humiliate you, I destroy and I cancel right now. I silence and I neutralize that plan in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, before we pray, just help those under the anointing. In Acts chapter 25, because we are in 2025, I hope you know they were preparing Paul to go down to Jerusalem and be tried. Now the Jews had, listen to me please, the Jews had already planned. They convinced the governor. He said, send Paul to Jerusalem so that he can be tried there. The plan was on the way, they will ambush him and kill him. But God had told Paul, he said, do not be afraid, that just the way you stood before the Jews to preach my word, you will stand before the Gentiles. You will stand before Caesar. You will stand before Rome. The devil wanted to cut him short. His destination was Rome, but they wanted to cut him short. That is an anointed man, Paul. But Paul had to, he screamed, he said, I will appeal to Caesar. And then the governor said, since you say you appeal to Caesar you shall go. That one statement saved Paul. If Paul had said, let's just go, they would have killed him on the way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you, there are things God has prepared for you in October. There are things God has prepared for you in November. But the plan of the enemy is, since we cannot stop it from arriving, kill him before he arrives. But you are going to pray. Every attack of sudden death. Hear me, listen. Sometimes an affliction on your body from nowhere can be death. Oh, it's only God. When we get to heaven, some of you don't know, some sicknesses you recovered from, you were meant to die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You were not tired yesterday. You woke up the next day with fever. No, sir. That one is an arrow. That one is not mosquito. It's an arrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'd like you to lift your voice in 2 minutes. Every attack of death, sudden death and destruction around me and my household, I crush it now. Open your mouth and pray. Before we hear the word, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Cancel, destroy, nullify, neutralize. Open your mouth. Oh, let your salvation come from your mouth. Let your salvation come from your prayer. Let your salvation come from your prayer. Hey, Kaparagasiaka. The Bible says in Psalm 68 verse 20, unto God belongs
demons escape from death. Escape from death. Escape from death. Ephesians 7:9 verse 11. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those appointed for death. Preserve those appointed for death. Open your mouth and pray. I cancel, I nullify every plan of sudden death around my life, around my household, every plan of Satan to cut me short. It's canceled. It's canceled. It's canceled. Pray. 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 Secure your wife. Secure your husband. By the blood. Secure your children. Secure your unborn children. Secure your unborn children. Secure your unborn children. Secure your unborn children. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominion, all power and position. Your name stands above them all. Come on, play for me. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Stands above them all. Above all thrones and dominions, all power and position. Your name. Your name is the greatest. Your name, in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Please, is there any pregnant woman here? If you are pregnant, even if it's 1 day old, 1 month old, if you are a woman and you are pregnant with child, please come quickly. Or you have a very close relative who is pregnant, please come. Those that are pregnant, stand by the right, by the left, by my left here. Those that are standing for a close relative, maybe your wife or your sister or your in-law, please, I want to do this before we sit down. Hallelujah. Every service may not be a miracle service, but because of the presence of and the power of God, you can receive the same things. Please bring them, bring them, bring them. Don't stop them. Allow them to come. I need to pray for them. The pregnant ones should stay here, this way. Those standing in for somebody, stay here. I just saw a picture and I want to cancel it. Hallelujah. Now, let me also declare this one by the anointing. Anyone trusting God for the fruit of the womb, for yourself or for somebody connected to you, I want to declare, because there's an anointing right now. The Lord has just released an angel for fruitfulness. Marital fruitfulness. Do you believe me at all? I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus. Any womb that has been closed, I command the gates of that womb to open now. Hear me? Do you know that wombs have gates? One of the cheapest ways to see people become fruitful is to command the gates of their womb. That's a teaching for another day. All right? So just leave me with the revelation. You receive the impartation. Any womb that is closed under this anointing, I declare that the gates of that womb is open right now. It is open right now. It is open now. In the name of Jesus Christ. According to the time of life, you will return back with your children. In the name of Jesus Christ. These ones come. Let me lay my hands on them, please. Then this, all of you are standing in for one person or the other. Huh? I hope you are not standing for your girlfriend. I know go pray. Oh. Go and marry her first. Amen. Don't deceive yourself. You stand for girlfriend. I don't pray for that. Okay? Marriage is honorable unto all. The bed. This prophet doesn't compromise. If you are standing for your girlfriend, go back. Go and marry her. Then come and stand for your wife. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm the one with the anointing. Whether you are happy or not. Amen. Father, we speak preservation. Help this woman. We speak preservation. See the power of the Holy Ghost upon this woman. We speak preservation. In the name of Jesus. We speak preservation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come against anything that they call, they will say a baby is breached. I don't know which of the three of you, but I cancel that news. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for these ones outside. Whoever you are standing in for, we declare by the power of the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of animals and Abel, that they are preserved till their time of delivery. Any evil hand, any demonic hand, any black satanic hand, stretch forth to bring about abortion, to bring about miscarriage, I cut it off by the sword of the Lord. I cut it off by the sword of the Lord. I cut it off now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Return back to your seat and rejoice. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Are you set for tonight? I pray for you in this service that whether you are ready for it or not, may God give you a surprise. As the word of God is coming to transform your mind, may the Lord release his angels to ensure that every need is met in this place. I said, may every need be met in this place. I say it again, may every need be met in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you tonight. We receive of your presence and your power and the wisdom of your mighty word to bring change and transformation, to bring hope and encouragement, and let your children never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I'd like you to give the Lord a thunderous clap of praise. Hallelujah. Please just shake somebody by your left and right. Welcome them to Pneumatech. And take your seat in the presence of the Almighty God. The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming to Pneumatech. The Bible says that they go from strength to strength. Each one that appears before God in Zion. Every meeting in the presence of the Lord is designed to increase you on every side. It's designed to increase you to superior versions of yourself. And there are resources deployed for that. The anointing, the power of the Spirit, the presence of the Lord, so that you go from glory to glory. And the Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I pray for you that because you have come tonight, and for those who are connecting by the internet, every grace that is needed in your life to complete you and to perfect what God is doing in your life, whilst you are seated listening to this word, may that grace be transferred into your life. Amen. You say amen like you believe you are receiving. Amen. May that grace be transferred into your life. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, that in this service you will experience a divine shift. I said you will experience a divine shift from where you are to where God wants you to be. And I pray for somebody. May the fire of God be released upon your life today. Fire for the next level. Fire for grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Are you set tonight? It's going to be an amazing service by the grace of God. I welcome you to Pneumatech. I want to thank those who are connecting from different nations, from the comfort of their homes, from their place of work, wherever you are. The same power and presence in this place is reaching out to you right there where you are. And I also want to salute everyone in this auditorium, every one of us that have gathered here tonight, not because you didn't have a place to go to, but David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's easy for you to stay at home and follow from by way of the internet, right? But you decided to come regardless of all the inconveniences. I pray that there must be a special blessing for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get to the word and see how far God wants to take us to today. I want to teach briefly on what I titled Our Blessed Hope. Our Blessed Hope. Some may pronounce it our, some may pronounce it our. Whichever one, you know I'm talking about O-U-R. Our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. Hope is what gives us the space to have expectation. Hope. You can have an expectation for something because you have an assurance, because you have a promise that that thing is not only possible, but it is available. Hope. There is no human being on earth who at some point instinctively will not want the encouragement that hope brings, whether concerning their life or concerning those around them. Hope is one of the things that sustains human existence. Sometimes people can go through hard times. What will help them survive those hard, difficult times? What will help them survive all manner of adversity and opposition? Is because of the element of hope that they know that someday, somehow, we will come out of this mess into something good. Or that with all that we are going through, there is hope of a better life, of a better future, and of a better tomorrow. And for us in John chapter 14 and in verse 19, Jesus himself spoke to us. He said, because I live, you shall live also. I prophesy that as long as Jesus is alive, you will live, you will prosper, amen, and you will abound in all good things, amen, until the coming of the Savior. Amen. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Our blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 to 14. Of all the hope that we can have, I want to bring us to the consciousness of the greatest hope that any believer can have. This, I believe, is the reason why we are alive. This, I believe, is what we must look towards as we sojourn temporarily on earth. I hope you know that someday we will leave this earth. We are not going to be here forever. We are like pilgrims passing through. And there is a destination we must arrive at. Amen. Titus chapter 2 from verse 11 to 14. My emphasis is verse 13. But I will read verse 11 to 14. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Is that Minister Emmanuel Emeka? Emmanuel Victory, right? Let's clap our hands for him. You're welcome, sir. Good to see you. Are you here with your wife? The next time you have to come with her. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Let's continue. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Let's go back to read verse 13 again, because that's the scripture of emphasis.
As a matter of fact, that's where we draw our topic from. Looking for the blessed hope. Somebody say the blessed hope. And glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. That means the appearance of the Lord Jesus to us again at the end of this age is our hope, is what we must look towards for our generation and several generations before us and some that will come after us. We were in presence when Jesus died. We were not there. Remember, Jesus told Thomas when he told him to put his hand into the nail prints on his hands and touch the place by his side where the spear went through. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God, I believe. He said, you believe because you have seen. He said, but I assure you that blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. That's why God is intentional about our generation. You were not there when Jesus died, but you believed that he died for your sin and he was raised for your justification. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, when you read from verse 20 down to 22, that he ascended into heaven and he will remain in heaven until the restoration of all things. And then he will be released again to come. His coming again is what we refer to as the coming of the Lord. It's an event that we look towards because a lot of things will happen when he appears again for us to see our Savior. It's not just going to be seeing him with the eyes of faith or seeing him when you study scripture, but you will see him for who he is. And then you will know that this thing that we call Christianity is not scam. No, sir. I don't know if Muhammad will ever resurrect. I don't think so. I don't even know where Buddha is. But I know where your Savior is. And someday he will appear for you to see him, not defeated, but alive and as the Lord and King above the universe. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the Bible calls it our blessed hope. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20. Two more scriptures before we continue. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait. This scripture is powerful. Our citizenship. That means our homeland. One translation says our homeland. You are an ambassador representing the kingdom of heaven on earth. Enjoy what you want to enjoy on earth. Buy land, buy houses, live large in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to live poor? But remember that this is not your home. This is not where you originate from. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your body may be traceable to this earth. And that's because your body was created by God as a passport, a visa for entry and for residence on earth. If you will advance his kingdom on earth, you need a visa. You need a permanent residence. Are you hearing me? That's why Jesus said, a body hast thou given me. That's why you're on earth. But you don't belong to this world. No. That's the reason why the troubles of this world, no matter how heavy they are, seem not to be able to weigh you down. Is it not Paul that said we are pressed but not crushed? We are persecuted but not abandoned. Cast down but not destroyed. Why are you able to surmount the challenges and the troubles of this life? It's because you are from another kingdom. And that kingdom is superior, beyond, and far above. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let's continue the reading. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 21, it says, who will transform our bodies, our lowly body. Because your body's flesh, it has limitations. A lot of limitations. Remember the last time you fell sick, many things were grounded around you. You couldn't walk. You couldn't do anything. Those of you that were married, you couldn't entertain your spouse. Your spouse had to nurse you. Those who are single don't understand what I mean by entertain. It's none of your business. You will understand when you marry. Amen. And all of that is because of the limitation of your body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are things you can't do because this body is limited. But the Bible says when the Lord our Savior appears, He is able to give us that verse to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. That body with which, keep the scripture, that body with which He resurrected, that body that conquered death, that body that, you know, they were in a room and the doors and the windows were shut. I wonder how they survived the heat. And the Bible says Jesus was standing in their midst. You don't understand. He didn't say He walked through the wall. No. He just appeared and disappeared. What kind of a body is that? It is flesh but supernatural. The Bible says when He appears, He will transform this our body to become like His glorious body. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are going to be more than Superman because of that transformation. And it says, according to the working by which He's able even to subdue all things to Himself. That means the power that will command this transformation is the same power with which He has subdued all principalities and powers. And that is present, isn't it? That is something that we must look towards. The Bible calls it our blessed hope. That not only will we return and we will see Him, but there's going to be a change, an exchange. We will drop this body with all its limitations and weakness. Remember the last time you tried to pray? After you started speaking in tongues, in 2-3 minutes, the first thing that came out of your mouth was a yawn, a loud yawn. And by that, the body say, "Oga, we'll go sleep before you reach 1 hour." Right? When that transformation happens, you will not need to fight the flesh again. You will not need to fight the nature of sin, because you would have received another body that carries as its nature righteousness, not sin. This our body has sin in as its nature. That's why the temptations come again and again. That's why limitations come. That's why the body hates anything that is God, anything that is Christ-like. But the Bible says when that transformation happens, you are going to put on a body that is resurrected, a body that carries the nature of righteousness. So you will become like Him. You will be like Him because you will see Him as He is. Somebody say amen to that. One more scripture. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Why? When the world look at you, I know be Thomas. We know Him now. But they don't know what is inside the body that they are looking at. Because you are now a child of God. It says, beloved, now are we children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, that is the blessed hope now. That is the event we are looking towards. When He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He. As you see Him, you would automatically be transformed to become like Him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Then He says, everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Please listen to this. Our blessed hope is the future reality of the appearance of our Savior. Our blessed hope is the future reality of the appearance of our Savior. Just like He was received into heaven in Acts chapter 1 while He stood with the 500 believers on that mountain. The Bible says He was received into heaven according to Mark chapter 16. Just the way He went, even so He will return again. And that's an experience that we must look towards. Our blessed hope is the future reality of the appearance of our Savior, with whom we will be together forever. With whom we will be together forever. And this is part of the basis of our faith. This is what forms the foundation of our faith as believers. that someday our Savior will appear and that we will be together with him forever, not to be parted again. I hope you know what that means. It means no more prayer. When Jesus was alive, the disciples didn't need to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the reason why when they could not cast the demon from that boy or something, they came and asked Jesus. Jesus said, "This type shall not go except by prayer and fasting." Obviously, maybe they were not praying and fasting. And was there a need to pray and fast when Jesus was there? You didn't need to punish yourself with 3 days fasting. And you know, when you finish the 3 days fasting, you'll not even see one dream. You finish it and go and drink akamu and break your fast, and you are still confused. More confused than the way you started the fast. No. When Jesus was alive, it's just to walk up to him, "Master, who sinned? Is it this guy or his parents?" He said, "No, but that the glory of God might be revealed." It was easy. I mean, that's why they were eating anyhow. They passed a corn farm and they just started, because Jesus was around. Everything was present. And when the Pharisees and their disciples tried to question, Jesus said, "Don't worry. When I leave, they will remember that there's fasting and prayer in the routine." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now we have to fast. Now we have to pray. Now you have to cry to God. And sometimes you sit down and think. But when we see him, is our blessed hope. I'm not talking about a Jesus. I'm talking about somebody who knows your thoughts. I'm talking about by his appearance, certain questions in your heart will disappear. It's like seeing him and the questions are answered. You see the way I'm trying to describe it, and it looks impossible. It will take a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus now to understand what I'm saying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody met me one time and said, "Apostle, I'm praying, I want to see Jesus. And if I see him, I have this question to ask, that question." I say, "Don't worry. When you see, you will forget the questions. Maybe for like 2 months when he has gone, then that's..." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he is the way, the truth. He is truth personified. He doesn't have the truth. He is truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is his appearance that brings answers. I mean, that's why he appeared to Saul at the road to Damascus. He just said, "It is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And a murderer of Christians immediately said, "Lord, what will you have me do?" And he was ready even to die for the same faith he was persecuting. Did Jesus say, "Stop persecuting me"? No, he just appeared to him. I pray that God will appear to somebody. God will give you a fresh encounter of himself by his spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. But all of us can look towards that event, the coming of our Lord, as our blessed hope. I taught us months ago that our salvation experience, of course, which is that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been bought by the blood that Jesus shed. We are now born again, born of the Spirit of God, and we are now children of God. We are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We now have a new identity. That is what, my brothers and sisters, salvation is. I taught us months ago that there are 3 stages to our salvation. There is instant salvation, which is what happened when you received Jesus into your heart. You became born of the Spirit. That stage of salvation happened in your spirit. Your spirit was made alive by the Holy Spirit who came to dwell in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." But the next stage is what we call progressive salvation. That is what we are experiencing now. Now your spirit has been made alive in Christ Jesus. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit is one. Your spirit now has the identity and the image of God. Your spirit is now like God. Exactly. But it has not happened. What has happened in your spirit is yet to happen to your soul and to your body. And so, as you keep hearing the word of God taught, as you keep surrendering your life to the wisdom of God's word, and to the leading and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you are experiencing progressive salvation. You remember the Bible says that we are not conformed to the patterns of this world, pattern, culture, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as you open your heart to the ministry of the Word and the Holy Spirit, you are being transformed. So progressive salvation is what we refer to as transformation. That transformation begins in your soul, your mind. So that the change that has happened in your spirit that makes your spirit carry God can also happen to your soul. And that is what will make you drop old habits. That is what breaks addictions. That is what begins to give you the character and the very life of a Christian, for everybody to see and know that this one is born again. But the third stage of salvation, I taught you, is what we refer to as final salvation. Instant salvation, progressive salvation, and final. Instant happens in your spirit. Progressive happens in your soul, from your mind to your emotions to your will. But final happens in your body. That your body too, which has the nature of sin, because you are a descendant of Adam, someday your body must experience the same change, and you must have another body put on you that carries the righteous nature of God that is existing in your spirit and will be existing in your mind. You believe what I said and you understand it, say amen. Amen. So, the consummation of our redemption is when we experience the final salvation. When that salvation catches up with our body. And that is the event we are looking towards. That is what we are talking about as our blessed hope. The hope that someday the change that has happened to your spirit, that is happening in your mind, will someday catch up with your body. That is the hope we are looking towards. And the Bible calls it our blessed hope. That's when your salvation becomes complete. And that is when you can see and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do we understand that? So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. It is because of that that Paul is giving us this charge in this scripture. He said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. You look at it now. Your spirit, soul, and body. That's why the salvation is in three phases. Must be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why we must sustain great expectation for the appearing of our Lord and Savior. I want to give you four to five reasons why we must sustain great expectation, great hope for the appearing of our Lord and Savior. Number one, because it is the manifestation of the glorious event that we refer to as rapture. The manifestation of the glorious event, which we call rapture. Somebody say rapture. We are talking about why we must sustain great expectation. Why we must continue in our Christian faith, serving the Lord, growing to know Him, and waiting patiently for the coming of our Savior. I'm giving you the reasons why. Number one, because of the manifestation of the glorious event that we refer to as rapture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, give us from verse 16. Let's start from verse 14. I want to explain this so that we know that rapture is a real event that must happen. It says, let's start from verse 13, please, so we get the context from verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. What this scripture is saying is that if we don't experience the glorious event that we are looking towards, which we call rapture. There are many Christians who feel that the moment a person dies, that's the end of their life. And some of them even quote that scripture in Hebrews chapter 9, I think verse 22 or so, where it says, just as it is appointed once for men to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, when you look at that scripture, that statement, that is not a statement in itself. It says, just as it is appointed for men to die once, and after death, so there is another event. That means that just because a person dies physically does not mean that the end of that person has come. No. You can simply just say the end of their existence on earth has come. But their existence will have leave this physical realm, this physical dimension, to another dimension. Many people are afraid of death because they think that when a man dies, that's the end of that man. No, sir. No. Otherwise, then why did Jesus die? Why did the penalty for our sin have to be the death of someone? If not because there had to be an exchange. That if he died for our sin, we will have new life in Christ. And that new life is eternal and everlasting life. Meaning that we have hope even after this place. This is the understanding that believers will have. That will make you not grieve too much when you lose a dead one or a loved one. You know, it's amazing how that when believers begin to experience some of this natural phenomenon, especially like the death of a loved one, they forget any scripture they know and treat the situation just like an unbeliever. You see them cry over that their cousin or their mother, just like unbelievers cry. Unbelievers know that they don't have hope. Unbelievers don't know, they don't even know if there is a world after now. So to them, chop life. Because when you die, you hear them say, all die na die. Is that something? Is that true? That statement is from the pit of hell. All die, no be die, yo. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have no hope of eternity. But you and I have hope. So when a believer in Christ dies, the Bible says we should not be ignorant. Give us that verse 13 again. It says we should not be ignorant, just like the unbelievers, concerning those who are falling asleep. He didn't say those who died. He says they fell asleep. Why? Because there is hope of resurrection. So you see that this hope we are talking about is the resurrection. That those who have died will live again, and those who are alive will see Jesus. All of us together. Let's finish the reading. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Let's continue. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. That's those who are dead now. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody say hallelujah. So you will fly one day. Huh? There's one musician that sang one song, I believe I can fly. It's true. But this time around you are flying on the air to meet with your Lord and Savior Jesus. Let's finish the reading. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18. It says, therefore comfort one another. It is only with hope you can comfort people. So the next time you meet a brother or a sister in Christ who is grieving because they lose another believer who is a loved one, I hope you know what to tell them now. Don't need to cry too much. Yes, this is the end of our sojourn with this person. But he simply went upstairs. And he's going to be there till we all meet together with the Lord. Let me show you another scripture. since we are talking about the hope of the glorious event of rapture, maybe this one will help somebody the next time you have to grieve for someone who dies as a loved one. Isaiah 57 verse 1 to 2. These scriptures were the scriptures that comforted me when I lost my mother. That's why, to be honest with you, before God and man, there was no day I sat down and one tear dropped from my eye. I remember that time somebody said that we need to know what's happening with Apostle. This one that he's not crying, he's not doing anything, something is wrong. Some of them were waiting for me to just go mad one day. I'm telling you, the next day when people heard the news, they started coming. Every day people were coming, sitting down with me. They needed to sit around me. And that I was not crying and behaving normal. They were just waiting for when I would just stand up and run out. That day never came. Listen, my own Christianity is genuine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What is the difference between me and an unbeliever if I act just like them in situations? What is the difference? Am I saying don't cry? You can cry, but have this hope. Look at this. It said the righteous perishes and no man should take it to heart. It said merciful men are taken away. Is that not what we say? Why do good people die early? He said, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil, who knows if they have stayed alive extra 5 years, they would have backslidden and die and go to hell. So is it not better that they left now? Verse 2, he shall enter into peace. You are the one crying. They are already in another peaceful place. Especially those that have the opportunity of having final moments before they die. If you go and ask them, they will tell you, especially the ones that are born, I'm not talking about the thieves, the liars, the corrupt ones that stole money and EFCC didn't catch them. And now they know that they escaped EFCC and man's judgment, but I'm talking about the ones that live for Christ. There's nothing you tell them that want to make them stay. It's almost as if God begins to give them a glimpse of the life ahead. Jesus said, in this world you will have sorrow, but in me you have peace. Let's finish it. He says, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Brothers and sisters, these are scriptures that witness to us the hope of the glorious, the manifestation of the glorious event, what we refer to as rapture. You know, there is no word rapture in scripture, but it is that experience that we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4. That we refer to as rapture, because the word rapture means to be carted away or to be caught up to meet with him. Why we must sustain great expectation for the appearing of our Lord and Savior. Number two, the perfection or the zenith of our transformation will be achieved. The zenith of our transformation will be achieved. The zenith of our transformation, what God has done in our spirit, in our soul, will be perfected even in our body. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51 to 52. Our change will become complete. So one of the reasons for the expectation and the hope of the appearing of our Lord Jesus. He said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all die. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Everybody blink. That's how it will happen. God bless you, you are in an Uber. And the Uber man. That's why I tell ladies, go and learn how to drive. Go and, this madam thing that we like to do. Go. I pray you too, you'll be caught away. Amen. Say, Apostle, why are you telling us to learn how to drive? Are you not saying that well, I don't know. That's the reason why you must sustain. You must wait patiently. And I will show you certain of these things. Let's finish the reading, please. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be what?
Changed.
We shall be changed. to become exactly like your Savior. Philippians 3 verse 20 to 21, we read that, so we don't need to read it again. It says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look towards the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, who is able to transform our lowly bodies to become like his glorious body. Somebody say glorious. So the perfection of our transformation will be achieved. Number three, our identity will no longer be mistaken. Our identity as believers, our identity will no longer be mistaken. There is a way the world sees us. The world does not see us for who we are. That we are children of God. That we are sons of God. That we carry the nature and the life of God in us. No. The world looks at us and sizes us by our limitations. Have you ever entered a place and people size you according to how you dress? I told you the story of that billionaire, the owner of Volkswagen, who went to London. I heard the story from his mouth in an interview. He went to London, finished some transactions, and he had 1 or 2 days left before leaving London. So he went to one of these fancy stores, one of these designer stores, to buy something. He wanted to buy a bag for his wife, a designer bag that she always liked. And so he drove in a small Volkswagen, parked somewhere and entered. When he entered, the way the security guard was looking at him, he demanded to see the manager. I said, no, you can't see the manager, he's busy. Please sit down here. He sat there. Eventually, he couldn't be given access to even buy the bag. Even when he was going towards some designer bag, they were looking at him as if he was a thief. He traveled. Another time, he came to London, finished his business and went back to buy that bag because his wife's birthday was close. This time, he drove in a Lamborghini. As soon as he came down, the security guard had crossed the road and was standing there. Welcome, sir. Welcome. Let's go. He entered. They say, please, sir, do you want to see our manager? She will be with you shortly. And that's when he even knew the manager was a female. They took him there. The whole pretension became too much. At a point, he said, you know what, I'm not buying this bag. When I came the last time, this is how you people treated me. You know what, I'm not buying. He called his wife and said, honey, let's look for a better bag. Even if it costs time, so I'll buy it. These people are fraud. Now, that's the way the world sees you. When the things that we call confession of faith, when the world look at us, they think you are just joking. They think you are making noise. They think you are boasting. I mean, look at Jesus. He called God his father. They picked stone to stone him. You, God be your papa. If God be your papa, why don't you own a yacht? Why are you here trekking under sun? Right? God bless you. You go and read the I Am Confession in your office. One person must laugh. Especially when you read that place of prosperity till infinity. Say, now wow, now sandals you wear come work today. Oh. My existence is powered by a supply that, oh yeah, go buy food for us now. Your existence is powered by, that's the way the world sees us. And some of us have become infatuated with the identity that the world is trying to impose on us. But you have forgotten who you are, that you are from above, not beneath. But brothers and sisters, at the appearing of the Lord, one of the things that will happen is that our identity will no longer be mistaken. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It says, though it doth not yet, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's then the fullness of our identity will be revealed. That's when you know that you are the child of the King of Kings, of the owner of the universe. That's when you know how much worth, or how much you are worth, that you are rich both on earth and in glory. Oh, that's an event that will happen to us with boldness. That's what the Bible says. That we shall approach him at the day of judgment with boldness. For as he is, so are we in this world. Because you will see him in his glorious appearance. Imagine coming with 10,000 angels. Majesty never seen before. Light. And then you are caught up to be with him. Maybe that's when you become proud of the kingdom you represent for the first time. Your identity will not be mistaken. You will know that you are as he is. Somebody say amen. When you go home, read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10 and verse 12. Number 4, why we must sustain great hope, great expectation for the appearing of our Lord and Savior. Number 4, we will move from sorrow to everlasting joy. We will move from sorrow in this present world to everlasting joy. John chapter 16, verse 20 to 22. Jesus was talking to his disciples shortly before he left and went to the cross. He says, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. That's when I'm hung on the cross and when I'm gone. He said, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Let's continue. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. He said, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. So we will move from sorrow in this present world to everlasting joy. The world is full of all kinds of sorrow. Sorrow of hunger, of lack, of poverty, affliction, wickedness, corruption. Give us the scripture, please. But the Bible says, our sorrow will turn to joy. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When you appear before him, your sorrows will fade away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All the wicked and painful memories will go. That will not be a time to say, Jesus, I don't have money. No, now. Asking for money when the creator of the universe is standing before you and is not living ever again. Our sorrow will be turned to joy. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 19. And also, you can read the following at home. Revelation 7 verse 17. Revelation 21 and verse 4. It says, for what is our hope or joy of crown or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? That he calls it our hope and our joy and the crown of our rejoicing. That you are able to meet Jesus when he returns. That is the crown. You know what the Bible says? The crown of something means the peak. No greater rejoicing than when you see Jesus face to face. We will seek his power. I think that's the song. There's a people rising. The face is shining bright. They speak the name of Jesus as they're walking towards the light. And we will seek his power, his presence and his grace. That's what we'll do till he comes. And we won't stop pursuing till we see him face to face. Because seeing him means the end of sorrow. Even now, if he appears to you in a dream, I know it by experience. Well, have you heard of tears of joy? Yes. There's a presence. Oh my God. There's something he comes with. It just, all the bad memories will disappear. That's why I say even the questions you want to ask, it will disappear, it will fall off. In this wicked and bedeviled world, filled with sorrow, there's almost, the Bible says in Job, that man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. If we live as normal human beings, the Bible says if in this life alone we have hope, we have all men most miserable because we are subjected to a life of sorrow. Remember the last time they stole your phone and it was iPhone 13. You dreamt that you wee-wee in your body because... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remember when your iPhone 14 Pro Max fell on the ground? Bah! And the screen break. I'm talking about screen that is almost... you can sell a tire and you...
Remember when they denied you that job? Remember when they stood you up? The wedding didn't hold. Disappointment upon disappointment. The everlasting end to all that is when he appears. Till he returns and me whole, hearing the prayer I stand. Don't worry, we'll sing that hymn at the end of the teaching. Remind me, that's when I say rise up, that's the song we must sing. And when we sing it, listen to the lyrics. This is not the take it kind of teaching or prosper kind of teaching. But this is a teaching that brings you superior hope. This is the reason why you are alive, and this is the reason why you can sustain your Christianity regardless of all the compromise around you, because you have a hope that there is a hereafter. Number five, we will meet with the Lord to part no more. We will meet with the Lord to part no more. We will meet with the Lord to do what? Part. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10. We'll meet with the Lord to part no more. And 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16 to 18. Let's read 1 verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. To wait for his son from heaven. That's where he's coming back from. You remember those songs we used to sing in those days? He's coming back again. My God is coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. Sing it. He's coming back again.
My God is coming back again.
Say, oh glory, hallelujah. If you went to Sunday school, sing it one more time.
My God is coming back again.
Tell that your wicked boss. Tell your village people.
He's coming back again.
He's coming back again.
My God is coming back again.
Hey, oh glory, hallelujah.
He's coming back again.
Tell that your wicked boss. That your Lord will come back again. Tell your village people, sure they can press button, no problem. Let them keep pressing the button. Sometimes we win the battle, sometimes they fire us. No worry, we'll keep going like that. Because when your Lord comes back, he's not only taking you to be with him, he will do something about them. Well enough that you will not be in heaven and wake up one day and say, oh boy, village people. Hallelujah. When you have been tormented of witchcraft, you will understand. But God has given us victory. In the name of Jesus. Listen to what I wrote. We must not lose sight on our hope in the coming of the Lord. We must not lose sight on our hope in the coming of the Lord. Stay hopeful regardless of what you go through. Tell your neighbor, stay hopeful. Regardless of what you go through. I know it's just Gary that is at home. And that's what you soaked yesterday and you are going back with no sugar. Tell your neighbor, stay hopeful. Regardless of what you go through. If you don't eat chicken on earth, you will eat it in heaven. Are you hearing me? Yes. If worse come to worse, any enjoyment you don't have here, you will have it in heaven. Stay hopeful. Regardless of what you go through. Hear this. We must strive to keep our salvation till the glorious appearing of our blessed hope. Who is our blessed hope? The Lord Jesus, our Savior. We must strive to keep our salvation till the glorious appearing of our Lord, of our blessed hope. You must strive to remain saved as a believer. Keep your salvation. Stay waiting for him. Don't live lives like unbelievers without hope, without eternal future. No. Stay like the bride. Matthew 25, isn't it? The 10 virgins waiting for the coming of the bridegroom.
And I think since it's 2025, we need to be preaching this kind of messages. Doesn't matter how long he tarries, wait for him till he comes. Know every day that someday he may appear. And so don't live attached to the things of this life. Don't live attached to the things of this world. Don't live your life and compare yourself to unbelievers. Don't live your life and compare yourself to thieves who prosper by stealing, who prosper by fraud. Don't live your life and compare yourself to that slay girl. Slay, what do you call it? Slay queen, slay whatever. When HIV catch you, you... No, yes, keep slaying, eh? And you know, from slaying, they go into all manner of... I read the news yesterday, according to AHF. I think that's a body that has to do with AIDS, HIV and AIDS or whatever. A report. Recent report. That 4,000 girls are affected with HIV. I don't know whether it's weekly or monthly. So let her keep slaying. You will slay, have HIV, and die and meet the person you were slaying for. Right? Keep your salvation till he comes back. Like the wise virgins that carried lamp with oil and extra oil because they were waiting, even if he came by midnight. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 to 9. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 to 9. Because some people, because Jesus has tarried long, they feel that, you know, this thing may just be scam. We may as well just get away with it. Look at this. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe that's why he's still waiting. Well, no, say, this one where Jesus, when they come again. Well, and I'm young. What if I grow old and Jesus come when I'm old? And I didn't flex life. No, sir. Enjoy life, yes. But you understand that flex? No. Keep your faith. Stay pure. And wait for the master. So how do you keep your blessed hope alive as you wait for the coming of the Lord? How do you keep your hope alive? We're living in a world filled with all kinds of problems and distractions. Distractions that may cause you to derail in your journey and in your race as a believer. Can I tell you something? If there is something I'm trying to get and I can't get it, or I'm met with frustrations or disappointment, one of the things I used to console myself is, at the end of the day, I would die and leave everything here. Why must I kill myself for it? Things that don't assure me of my eternal salvation. Either I die or Jesus will come and I meet him, but you will leave everything here. Abby? So why sacrifice your eternal future because of mundane things? How do you keep your hope alive? Number one. In the midst of all the distractions in our world. Number one, take note of these five powerful points before we pray. Remain in the faith. Remain in the faith. Tell your neighbor, remain in the faith. In bracket, I said, stay saved, live saved. Tell your neighbor, stay saved and live saved. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 to 2 says, seeing that we are surrounded with such great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, that doth easily ensnare us. He said, let us run with endurance the race. So Christianity is like a race you are running. Run it with endurance and with patience. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy of what was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the process. He did not break in the process because of the joy that was ahead. There are many things in this life that will want to distract you. The pressure to get married, then you marry an unbeliever and become one. The pressure to want to make it and you sell your soul because you want to make it. All kinds kinds of distractions. Keep your faith. Remain in the faith. Keep your focus. As you grow as a believer, make sure that that hope is always in your mind. Stay saved and live saved every day. Every day, live in that consciousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 even says that we should examine ourselves to see whether we are still in the faith. Yeah, once in a while, go on retreats. Check yourself. What am I living for? I think you should ask yourself that when you go home. What am I living for? Many of us are under pressure. Many of us are pursuing. Many of us are growing older than our age physically. You are pursuing things that you will not take to eternity. Things that you will not take to heaven. Things that can jeopardize your salvation. Ministers can even lie, steal, fornicate. They give you money. They send money to your account. Say, come and minister to us. Come and sing for us. You no go. You no send their money back. You send them sorry. Abba. Are you saved at all? No, there are some things that people do. You just ask whether this one is born again or not. Pastor, having girlfriends in different places. I hope you have accommodation for them in heaven. Stay saved. Remain in the faith. Let nothing distract you or derail you. You are on a race. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24 to 27. Very powerful scripture. You see, we don't teach these things in church often. That's why Christianity is getting to that point where it's becoming just transactional. Christians are becoming wayward because we are silencing the part of the gospel that affects our eternal hope, our eternal salvation. Not here, we'll teach it here. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one will receive the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. He said, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we will obtain an imperishable crown. Paul says, therefore, I, Paul, the preacher and the apostle of grace, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. Verse 27 is really awesome. He said, I discipline my body. That's the person that preached grace. That by grace, not by works, we are saved. Abi? So you now think that since we are saved by grace, not by works, we can use our body and continue whatever we are doing since we are already saved by grace. That's the person that say, I discipline my body. I bring it under subjection. If you don't discipline it, it will send you to hell. If you don't discipline it, it will kill you and you will appear before Jesus and he say, I don't know you. Bring it under subjection. Some enjoyment are the detriment of your soul. Let's finish it. He said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Oh, so even after you are saved by grace, look at it. He's the one that said it. Woe unto people who are deceived by opposing doctrines. Discipline yourself. As a man of God, discipline yourself. I ask questions sometimes. Do people fear God at all? Do people fear God at all? They want to give you bribe now. Tomorrow is when you will collect the bribe. Tomorrow. You are just in this service, but you are tomorrow now, you become 7 zeros rich. My question to you, my brother, my sister, is it worth your faith? Can anything be given in exchange of your eternal salvation? There are even things people want to give you that are not sin. But if you know you are running a race. God's servant Dr. Paul Enenche said one time, I shared with you the story. In fact, the pastor of Dunamis was here to confirm it when they were still in Area 1. And I heard from him that while they were in Area 1, about 13 years into the ministry was when he now remembered he was still living in a rented house when they had already built the church. He was already big. He was already on television. Somebody came for midweek, during midweek service on Wednesday. Midweek service is when, was it 6 p.m. or when? The person came about 45 minutes to the time, talking, 30 minutes to the time. The person say, "Ah, daddy, there's a house in, is it Asokoro or Metama? I want you to go and see a very good duplex for you." That's somebody who doesn't have a house of his own. Maybe you'd have entered, they can't rush. Bishop is around now. They can handle the service. Pastor Prince is around. He didn't go anywhere. When it was 5 minutes to time, after much pressure, he told the guy, "It's 5 minutes to my service. I'm going to the hall now. Maybe some other time." My bro, you have to be disciplined. If not, many things will bait you out of your Christianity. Many things. You think that the devil wants you to be consistent with God? There is always an excuse for why you should miss one Sunday. There will always be a tangible excuse for why you should miss one service. But if you know you are running a race, and there is a hope that you will meet him someday. And remember, we will not just meet him and be happy. We will explain to him all that we did with the body he gave us and the time he gave us on earth. When you had the opportunity to let go of other things and chose him, you chose other things and forgot about him. May it not be so for us. Number two, meditate on his promises continuously. Meditate on the promises of God continuously. You want to keep your blessed hope alive till he returns. Meditate on his promise, on his promises continuously. Psalms 37 verse 3. Psalms 37 verse 3. He said, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Do you have New Living Translation? He says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, then you shall safely..." No. Give us maybe Amplified or something. "Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness." In Psalms 97, 91 and verse 4, the Bible says, "His truth shall be your shield and buckler." When you read it in the Living Bible Translation, it said, "His faithful promises shall be your defense, your shield." You want to keep your hope alive till Jesus returns? Meditate on his promises. Something has to occupy your mind. If not, the devil will occupy it with the sufferings you are going through. He will occupy it with the carryovers you have had. He will show you how that you have spent extra years. Is your God not powerful enough to save you? So meditate on his promises. Search the word of God. Find the promises in scripture. There are almost 7,000 of them. Meditate on them. "I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. He that is from above is above all. And he that is from the earth is earthly. He whom God has sent speak the words of God. For God giveth him not his spirit without measure." Huh? "I am complete in him who is the head over principalities and powers. Even when they fire you an arrow of affliction and you are coughing and gasping for air, say it there on that bed. I am complete in him who is the head above principalities and powers. I am seated with him in heavenly places." Meditate. Meditation is not just thinking. Do you know there is a part of meditation that has to do with speaking? The word meditation in the Greek is the word hagor. Is it Greek or Hebrew now? Hagor. It means to mutter consistently, to speak again and again. Sometimes to delete wrong images in your mind, use your mouth and speak. That's how you dethrone what is in your mind, casting down imaginations. Meditate on his promises. I don't know if all of us will be rich before we go to heaven. But whether you get rich financially or not, you have his promises. Assurances that even if it is not good now, it will be good in the life to come. Meditate on it every day. If not, the pressure to marry, they will pressurize you to marry a wrong person. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." That's that. You see, he keeps your hope alive. Cry, no problem, in the midst of your pain. But when you finish, remember what he said about you. Meditate on it. Is it not Joshua 1 verse 8 that says you should meditate on it day and night? And then you shall make your ways prosperous and have good success. 1 Timothy 4 verse 13. 13 and then 15 to 16. As we round up. 1 Timothy 4, 13, 15 to 16. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 15. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that you may, your progress may be evident to all. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Number 3, be heavenly minded but earthly relevant. How to keep your blessed hope alive till the Lord Jesus returns. Number 3, be heavenly minded but earthly relevant. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 4 says that we should set our heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In verse 2, he says, set your minds on things above. So be conscious about heaven. Be conscious about the life after now. Be conscious about the joy and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus. Be heavenly minded, but earthly relevant. The fact that yes, we are waiting for him to come does not mean you just go and lock yourself in your room and be waiting till he comes. Hunger will remind you that you are alive. Are you hearing me? Be earthly relevant. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We shouldn't have lazy Christians who are just waiting for Jesus to return. And they have built an orientation, an ideology to support their laziness. Because a lazy man will never have anything in this life. A lazy man will always remain poor. And they don't know that it is their laziness and their complacency that has sabotaged their ability to prosper and to abound. So just because they don't have it and others have it, they will build a false ideology that how can we be living for all these things? Did the Bible not say in this life we have hope, we have all men most miserable? Say, let's wait for the coming of Jesus. Forget about these worldly riches. They never give you that money, that worldly riches, they never give you. He never solved problem for you. When he solved problem for you, you know who is worldly, whether it's the riches or you. Christians should not be lazy. Walk! Whatever your hand find to do, till he returns back, build yourself. Be innovative. Study about the economy. Study about what's happening around you. When they bring you to see, when they sit you with intelligent people, with rich people, and they start using words, you will just be looking at them like that. Because you don't know. Is it the fault of your secondary school teacher that you don't know? Is it the fault of your lecturer in university that you don't know? Why are Christians often relegated as the ones that don't know anything? Why? When the Bible says we are the light of the world. One of our brothers here sent me an email. They gave him a certificate. I think he's graduating. I think it's an association in the whole school. They say, most hardworking. I say, that's what we want to see. No, sir. We are not cowards. We are not foolish. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God gave us brain. He gave us sense. He gave us the Holy Ghost. The spirit of knowledge. The spirit of innovation. The spirit of creativity. Anything that your hand finds to do until Jesus come, be doing it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said, occupy till I come. He said, do business. We become a billionaire. Become a millionaire. If he delays in coming, become a billionaire. At least you enjoyed on earth and you will enjoy in heaven. Build businesses. Own systems. Start up businesses that will employ people. Let's step out in confidence and teach our world why we are the light of the world. Be relevant on earth. 1 week you travel, your neighbors not see you, nobody even call you to ask you, because what is your presence contributing? It's you when you come back, I tell them, I've been traveling, I just go, oh, you travel, no problem. Gate man did not miss you. Neighbors didn't miss you. Malam selling at the road didn't miss you. But when they know that you are blessed, you tip this one, you tip that one. When you travel, they'll look for your number. Call you. When you be like, say you travel, nobody will watch your house. We're going to look your house. Because of how irrelevant you are. One of my friends traveled for an international summit in US. When there was a program, after all the meetings, it was free. So there was one more program, I think a meeting with CEOs. I mean, international. He registered online to be in the meeting. 2 minutes after he entered his registration, the CEO of a company called Paystack. How many of you know that company? Paystack. The CEO called him, said, "You day US?" Say, "Please, I have to see you today. Today, please. I'm clearing my evening." A tongue-talking believer. Not the ones that you pass. Nobody knows say you pass. You pass. You pass like this. You have to stand at, "No, sir. Be relevant. But in your field, be relevant. You are trading crypto. Be relevant there. Forex." I saw one guy online recently. I didn't even bother to watch the video. I think he's a Forex trader. He says, "It's not God that make me rich in Forex." Yeah, that insult. How many of you saw that video? I didn't care to. I don't know what he wants to say there. Yes, and the insult will remain on our face until some of you here can come out and say, "God made me a Forex millionaire." Until then, the insult will remain. In Africa, a pastor is everything. Do you know the tiredness that we feel? And it's not our fault. Neither is your fault. When you have governments that are not working, systems that are not working. So a pastor becomes everything to a society. The load is too much. Let the believers themselves begin to rise up. Begin to become innovative. That your saloon business, that your hair business, do it till you become the one that is in charge. If there are 10 people selling, doing saloon in the street, you be on an edge. Buy hair and start selling. The people that own saloon will come and buy from you. You are a barber. Other barbers are there. No problem. Start selling barbing equipment. They will all come to your shop. Be earthly relevant. When last did people call you for advice, for ideas? You are a medical doctor, but they are calling you for financial advice. Investors are calling you. "No, sir. That's the word I was looking for. Mediocrity. It must die in the body of Christ. Especially in the north of Nigeria. Our problem is not poverty. Our problem starts with illiteracy. Ignorance. There's something you know that can never allow, even poverty will know it can't come near you. You start one business and it blossom. Jesus no come, start another one. I was discussing with somebody recently, I never heard that before. We were talking about financial innovations, the economy, and I know some of you, they can't really enter that discussion, you just be looking at it. Some of you think it's only Bible I know. Wait, put me with CEOs first. Put business people first. That's when you know that no, it's not only Bible. The guy was talking to me about, and that's when I heard for the first time that some companies open some businesses not to make profits. Somebody owns a cement plant, he owns a clothing line, he owns this one, and so he's offering products and services, isn't it? Now, with these chains of businesses, the money will still be going somewhere. The profit margin is high. And you see, profit margin, that one now, ask somebody to explain it. They will start Googling. And you are a believer, you are matured, and you are in church. What is profit margin? Index. When you talk all these words, when you begin to mention it, you just see them looking at the only thing they know how to do is pray in tongues. Jaralabalagadabayalagabay. I will never pastor mediocres. They can come as mediocres, but they will not live as mediocres. If they live as mediocres, I'll deny them. I didn't pastor them. As we are talking here now, do you know that we have several members streaming this program from places like UK, United Arab Emirates. You think it's just us here? Some of them that I'm in contact with from different countries, some of them that own businesses, they will not comment online, no, but they will send me email. Apostle, please explain this thing that you just said. I want to interpret it in my business. Somebody have 40 employees. What was I saying before I got there? So you have to partner with a big bank and they will make money on your head. So what do? They can go and open a bank. In addition to all the businesses they have. They didn't open that bank to make money. They opened it so that the circulation of funds can rotate around their businesses. That's why some of them buy other people's businesses. They know how to influence the market in such a way. They call what they call it vertical. Let me not mention some of those memes. Why would somebody own cement, own transportation line, own this one? Then you now start a business. But when you start, you realize that all the parameters that your business will depend on to prosper, now you ain't get them. So he will frustrate you and then you'll be forced to sell your business to him. You see, that's, and unbelievers are the ones doing this, and Christian businessmen are just comfortable with a business that can buy them one Corolla and they are sitting down. Tell somebody take charge. Tell somebody take dominion. Rise to wherever, to any height that God can carry you to. Are you challenged tonight? When you go home, read Luke 19 verse 12 to 25. He said, do business till I come. Proverbs 27 verse 23 to 27. It teaches about investment. Pure practical wisdom. Proverbs 27, 23 to 27. You are a businessman, please read that Proverbs. You are a career person, please read it. Learn investment. Learn innovation. Take advantage of AI, of technology. Don't remain irrelevant till Jesus comes. No, sir. Because of the internet and modernization has made it such a way that you can be a student and make money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Shout hallelujah. Number four, embrace godliness. Embrace godliness. Titus chapter 2 verse 12. Let's look at that scripture. Embrace godliness. How to keep your blessed hope alive. Embrace godliness. A life of godliness and righteousness. It's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. While you are waiting for his return, embrace godliness. Live a life that is pleasing to God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says, he that had this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. A life of purity, a life of holiness. Love the things of God more than the things of the world. We don't teach these things in church again. So all is, every Christian now, what they know is a gospel of prosperity, which there's nothing wrong with, but if that's the only thing you teach in the gospel, you may be raising people that will go to hell. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Is great. There are things more superior than money. There are things more superior than material things. Things that money cannot buy. It's called godliness. 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 Embrace it. Don't live in discipline. Don't live immoral. Don't live uncultured. No, sir. Jesus will come one day. We don't know when he's coming. Somebody said 21st September. This one. October. I don't know what kind of dream he saw. No problem. I won't tell you when because I don't know when. Because Jesus said that the when. Only the Father knows. But till he comes, live godly lives. Be honest. Be transparent. Let your life reflect Christian virtues. Let it show in how you dress, how you comport yourself, your manner of life. We just, I don't know why we are so in love with the world. We want all that we you see on the life of a believer are patterns and culture copied from the world. When are we going to start exemplifying the pattern and the culture in scripture? Light trying to become like darkness. No, sir. Live godly. Live godly. Let them know there are people who fear God. As a pastor, live a godly life. As a banker, live a godly life. As a businessman, a CEO of an oil conglomerate, live a godly life. A personnel in a military or paramilitary, must you take bribe? You are a commander. They give you money for your troops. Give them what belongs to them and carry the one that belongs to you. No, you chop your own, chop their own. Then you now build a house with it and invite your pastor. I think that's what I would do. Anybody that invites me to dedicate anything, I ask you, how did you get the money first? Don't steal and come and do no. I won't do that. God has rebuked me of it before. I won't do that. Embrace godliness. Read 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 13 when you get home. Finally, number 5. Stay fruitful in the work of God. Stay fruitful in the work of God. Stay fruitful. Stay fruitful. Stay fruitful. Stay fruitful. Let your serving God be productive. Romans 12 verse 11. It said, not slothful in business, King James. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervently in spirit. To be fervent means to be consistent. It means to continue with the same amount of momentum. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit as an usher. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Evangelism units, fervent in spirit. In fact, the Bible says all of us should do the work of an evangelist. If you can't sponsor crusade, go and preach. Go and do one. If you can't go and preach in a crusade, well, go and preach on the street. Preach in your office. Win a soul for Christ. January, today is what? 12th of October. You have not won one soul. So, will God gain if you are alive on earth or you are in heaven? There are many of us that God needs to start profiting from our life. God needs to start profiting from your salvation. How many souls have been saved? How much of the kingdom has been advanced because of you? How many of you see that the reason why I'm making this money, one of the reasons, is to ensure that the work of the kingdom continues? How many of you have joy when you put your money and is able to do something for church? Am I saying it for you to give your money? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Crusade is coming in November. It's not urine that we used to do the crusade. Millions. It won't fall from heaven. Money doesn't fall from heaven. Even if miracle money happens, it's still money from central bank you will see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Blessings come from God through men. Where are the men that are the channels? Where are the young men? This crusade that is coming. Apostle, I'll give 500,000. I'll give 1 million. I can't go for the crusade because they will not allow me leave from work. But take 500, take 1 million. I have a house in Bill. Keep so number of people. Be productive in the service of God. Even if what you are doing is washing toilet, wash it honorably. Come on time and do it. Come on time for rehearsal. As a man of God, be faithful, studying the word. Read, build yourself to build God's people. Recently, I'm reading 2 books at once. Because what I need from the pressure. Now we have about 4 other branches, in case you don't know. So you have pastors, you have workers, you have leaders. I don't have time to begin to play. I like ice cream, especially the chocolate one with cookies. But throughout this year, I don't even know where they sell it. Is it I don't have money to buy ice cream? I do, but till Jesus come, I must walk the walk of him who sent me. How long am I going to live? I don't know. But till he comes, I'll serve him with the last drop of my blood. I've traveled to places and you spent times three of the money to come back. Not because of anything. You would have just stayed and missed service. But no, I must come back because I'm in the service of God. People wonder why God don't treat them seriously. How do you treat his work? How do you treat his work? It's funny when a parent will advise a child not to come to church. Okay, let them go to club. I'm sure you'll come and give us prayers. Better you come to church and waste time in church than you are in the club. So one of the ways to keep your hope alive, stay fruitful in the service of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 58, the Bible says we should be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Have you been blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm talking about labor that you will see the harvest here and even in eternity. Please lift your hands and give the Lord praise for what you have heard tonight. Our blessed hope, the coming of our Lord Jesus, the coming that will bring our transformation, the coming that will bring an end to our suffering, the coming that will bring an end to our sorrow. We are waiting patiently for him because we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, not of this earth. If we suffer here on earth, we will be glorified with him in heaven. That is our hope. That is why we are alive. Lift your voice and thank him. Please rise on your feet as we pray. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone and this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love?
What heights of love?
What depths of peace?
When fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter and my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stand.
No guilt in life. Let's sing that verse.
No fear in death.
This is the power of Christ in me.
This is the power of Christ.
From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Hey!
Hey,
he commands your destiny. No power of hell, no power of
hell
can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns.
You are going to pray one prayer before we leave tonight.
Lord, help me to stay ready and prepared for your coming. Help me not to lose hope. Help me not to lose my faith. Help me not to sacrifice my salvation. May nothing be strong enough to distract me from this race until you come. Not marital pressure, not sickness, not poverty, not lack of a job. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Open your mouth and talk to him. It's a personal prayer. Open your mouth and say, Lord, help me to stay prepared. Help me to stay awaiting your return. Help me to keep my hope alive. Come on, pray for 1 minute. Oh, calls me home, here in the power of Christ. No power of hell, no power. Please pray. No distraction will take me away, will derail me. In Jesus.
We talk tonight about our blessed hope. That blessed hope is the return and the appearance of our Lord Jesus. When we see him, we'll become like him. We'll be completely transformed to be like him. And then we will be with him to part from him no more. There is nothing that gives you hope in this life other than that. That's why he didn't take us away as soon as we were saved. That's why he kept us here. Because he's coming back. Lift your hands. I pray that nothing in this life would distract you or derail you from your race as a believer, from your hope and expectation of the return of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. The grace to persevere, to keep your hope alive, to wait patiently for his coming, to endure affliction, to endure persecution, and to live prosperously, but yet to keep your faith intact till he comes. Receive that grace right now. And I pray for you. Some of us may die before he comes. Some of us may remain till he returns. But as long as you're alive, may your life be productive for the kingdom. May your life bear fruit for his majesty. In the name of Jesus Christ. May you be like Hezekiah, that God reversed his death and gave him extra years, because he walked with God from a loyal heart, and because he lived a life that was productive and pleasing to God. Let your amen be louder. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Clap your hands for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? Please be patient with me. Just stand for 1 more minute. I want to give an opportunity for someone who wants to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Whether you are standing right now in this auditorium or you are watching online, you are here, you want to surrender to Jesus. You are not a bad person, but you want to have a relationship and an experience with him. Please, I'd like you to repeat this prayer sincerely from your heart after me, unashamedly. Or you want to rededicate your life afresh and be serious. Maybe this message has triggered hope in you. It has called you to order, and you want to rededicate afresh your life to him. Or you want to stop playing games and just face the Lord and face him squarely and be serious with him. Please say this after me right where you are. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe that you died and rose again for my salvation. I receive you into my heart, and I proclaim you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I am yours and you are mine, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you made that prayer with me,
You have received salvation. You are born again. You are a child of God. And I know you did it because you were responding to the love of God. Before you leave, I want to pray with you and ensure that your faith is sealed. If you made that prayer with me, wherever you are, please pick your Bibles and come straight to the front. I want to pray with you. Please do that in the next 10 seconds, wherever you are. Whether it's your first time or you are rededicating your life. Whether it's your first time or you are rededicating afresh. Please come quickly. Come quickly. God bless you. Clap, 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 clap as they come. God bless you. Till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Please stretch your hands towards this one. Lift your right hand to heaven. Father, your word says there's joy in heaven even when a soul repents. We declare by the authority of the word that the sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Saved by grace and through faith to live victoriously in Christ Jesus and to serve you all the days of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you, my brother. Please turn to your left and walk to our counselors. They will attend to you, speak to you, and pray with you. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand of grace. Hallelujah. Pneumatech.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.